Welcome all of you here in this program, Love, Success and Dhoka. And we have a distinguished guest, Bhakti Vikas Swami, who is born in London, but then he joined International Society for Krishna Consciousness movement, and then ever since he has been preaching all around the world, especially in India, and written many books in various languages. His books are there back on the table on the counter, and after the program, if you like, you can please have those books and get those books autographed by Maharaj. And he is present with us. I'd like to request you to give a big clap for his arrival here.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare.
And he is not just a saint, but a philosopher.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
And also, of course, author of many books. We also have various distinguished guests with us. It's a panel. What we're going to do today is we're going to have a interrogation session or a debate. Not actually debate, but interrogation. And these people, they are
hope
scientists.
Hope there's no torture along with it.
Chartered accountant.
Could you please introduce and give the names?
So these, we welcome first of all, Mr. Rajesh. Who is chartered accountant and practicing consultant for more than 2,000 NGOs all over India, and popularly known as NGO Guru from Delhi. He's also a member of ICSI. He's a project consultant in panel with Government of Karnataka. Mr. Verma is also a promoter of public limited company Tara Corporate Services.
Rajesh Verma. Rajesh Verma, is it?
Rajesh. We also have Mr. Mayank with us. He is.
Give the full name, please.
Mr. Mayank Taneja. And he is a computer engineer by profession. He has also earned an MBA in marketing and international business. Presently, he is working as a strategy research and consulting profession, the reputed consulting firm, and providing services to the clients such as Coca-Cola, etc. We have Mr. Pankaj
Sarau.
Yeah. He is chartered accountant, CS. He has done BCom, MCom, and BEd. He is working in private company. Presently, his own practice, simultaneously teaching various students. He is faculty with ICAI. And he's got an award for best faculty there, and also PSU seminar is faculty there in that company. Thank you.
Madhu Kanta, Madhu, are you going to be swiveling this around? Then maybe put it down, and you will have to crouch down and take
it. Okay, we also have Mrs. Vandana Singh Bhardwaj with us. She is 27 years old. Works in BPO and have worked in several MNCs. She has completed her graduation from Delhi University and a master's from Symbiosis, Pune. And she is competitive, believes in team spirit, and does not fear challenge. We also have scientist Dr. Ritu. She is a medical scientist. She has done bachelor's or master's doctorate from All India Institute of Medical Sciences. She has a master's from State University of New York.
What is a medical scientist? It means you do research.
And she has worked as a scientist in USA from 1991 to 2009. Presently, she is consultant for pharma and biotech industries in USA. And she has given many publications, several peer-reviewed in international journals. So, we like to begin this talk and interrogation, and They will ask some questions, and His Holiness Bhakti Rikaswami, he'll answer those questions, and we'll see how the report goes on. So, this will be also open to the audience in between. If anybody wants to ask a question, please raise your hands when we open this debate to audience, not in between.
Cell phones?
Please keep your cell phone on silence. This talk will go for around 40 to 45 minutes.
That's all. That's a short time to get through love, success and dukkha. Finish it all off.
And if any of the panel members want to ask any questions, please raise your hands. And so necessary, we'll ask you questions, everybody. He will choose. He's a mediator. And we'll see how this goes on. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Okay, so as we have three topics today, they will be divided equally as for the time. So first we start with love, the topic love, and what is it? Okay, I've just been asked not to divide the topics because we will let it go spontaneous. So, the first topic is love.
But you asked not to.
Yeah. So, we all have our different understandings about love and success and dhokha. Every time we go on Facebook, someone gives a new definition of love. So let's find out what our panelists think of love. Anyone, if you want to give a definition of love? First, your understanding about the topic. Okay? You can take your...
What I think is that... I can define love in just one word, which is unconditional. There are no conditions attached. If I love someone, I mean, it has to be unconditional, no conditions attached.
Yeah.
Actually, we will speak, we will take everyone's opinion about the topic, all the panelists.
Okay, so. You have hand up here.
Yeah, okay.
According to me, love is love means I'm completely dependent emotionally on somebody and very, very attached to that person. I think that would be love.
Mm.
Hare Krishna.
I think everyone has the personal mics here. So
everyone has their own mic.
Don't take mine.
In present scenario, in present world, what I see, that love means to use the person. Love means to use the person who love you. And to get used by the person to whom you love. This is what I see in the present world. But today we have come here and I think we'll get to know the meaning of true love. So that will be my question with Swamiji. That he will define what is the meaning of true love and what real love is.
Okay, we will come to Swamiji after we have taken opinion of all the panelists here. So, what's your understanding of love?
According to me, friends, when we talk about the love, we are restricted to the particular human being and the maximum the animals we used to love. But in my personal opinion, the love should be like wide enough to cover the environment, the plants, each and everything. But why we think about the second person only, the human beings only? Why we think about the human beings or animals when we talk about the love? Why don't anything comes in our mind regarding the environment, regarding the plants, each and everything? We should love our surroundings. We should love our environment. That's ours and that we have to provide to our next generation. So that's my definition of love according to me.
Okay. So what's your understanding of love?
Well, I'm not a knowledge guru. I truly believe love is what my mother has given me. Love is what my siblings have given me. What my husband, my in-laws are giving me. I think it is a feeling wherein you can, you know, you can blindly trust the other person. You can blindly tell whatever you feel to the other person without even thinking twice as to what would the person do with the information that you have shared. So I think somebody whom I rely blindly,
the world is upside down.
That may be my parents, that may be my siblings, that may be my husband and my in-laws. And of course, yes, my friends. So I think that is the definition of love for me.
Okay, we have everybody's opinion about of love. Now, we would like to hear from Bhakti Vikas Swami.
Yes, and in Hare Krishna, it's an interesting mixture. There's no love without dukkha, and no success without dukkha. What do you think, you professional people? Increase the volume, please. Love, success, dhoka, cheating. Dhoka means cheating. I'm just saying that for others in non-Hindi speaking parts of the world who might be watching this on the internet. These are all abstract terms, and like all other abstract terms such as mind, consciousness, feeling, beauty, they're terms which, when we say them, we all have a general idea of what they mean, but when we try to define them, it's very difficult to exactly define them. Now, one problem, maybe it's the greatest problem in the whole world, the most undefined problem, or not even recognized problem, is that we all desire love, maybe more than success. And I don't think anyone, at least from childhood, thinks about cheating others. They maybe pick that up later. We all desire love, but there's one major problem, at least one major problem, with love in this world. And that is that it is temporary. We all have to die. So in discussing any issue, I always like to change the subject. Please excuse me. Not exactly change the subject, but we can't put any subject into context unless we understand the nature of reality. And we cannot understand the nature of reality unless we understand one very basic point, that our existence as we perceive it now is temporary. We won't be in this situation very long. We go from body to body to body. This is not a, well, you could say it's a Hindu belief, but it's not a belief, it is a fact. So if we think about that, then even this love, this very, very powerful force of love, it seems to be pathetic, meaningless, useless. Why should you love someone and give all your heart to them, and then in a short time, boom, finished? Because it is our very nature as living beings to love. But love, real love, true love, has to be on the platform of eternity, that is not broken by time. it can also be broken even within this life. That's that you were saying, you can trust unconditionally. But there are so many, that's why I'm saying love is often mixed with dhokha. You think the person loves you, but they're cheating on you. So, to find unconditional love means to find the person who will never cheat us. And that relationship should be beyond time, beyond birth and death. The point about loving all entities, not just humans, but also animals and the environment, this is a very important point. We find in the newspaper every day, it's increasingly horrible what we read in the newspaper or the Google News nowadays. It's increasingly horrible. We hear about humans acting barbarically toward each other, but we never think about the literally millions of cows, chickens, and other living creatures who are being slaughtered every day. So there's a massive lack of love for other living beings. But that also can be put in order if we understand that the center of love is that person who will never cheat us, who we can love unlimitedly, eternally, unconditionally. And that person is Krishna. I'm just going to make it brief. It's a big topic which could be spoken of in great detail, but we only have about 35 minutes left to solve all the problems of the world.
Okay, I think you were raising your hand, and I would rather be the audience and get a chance to ask questions. So, please.
But what's going on?
Keshavanand Prabhu will be taking over. And
but the panel members, they're going to put questions, isn't it?
Even the audience will be asking the questions, so I want to be a part of the audience for this discussion.
Oh.
Okay.
And what's the point of the panel? Shouldn't the panel first discuss and then...
No. Yeah, yeah,
okay, all right.
So, any questions from the panel? Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
So, Swamiji, you just said that love has to be...
Please, excuse me, put your mic on.
Love has to be for eternity. But my point is that we have not seen eternity. We will die after, let's say, 40 years, 50 years from now on. So why not love till then? Who has seen life after that?
Yeah, you can do that. But considering the nature of eternity, it makes more sense to find out that love which will last for eternity rather than for a second. Just like you go to school, or you went to school, and you might have thought at the time as a child, well, let me play. But rather, you invest your time for a better future. Now, you may say you haven't seen eternity, but we can understand that there is eternity, and we can take knowledge of our eternal situation and act accordingly.
But then how do you convince us that there is eternity? That question is not solved.
How do we convince us that there is eternity? Well, philosophically, mathematically, and intuitively, we can understand that there is eternity. Getting back to that point that we are taking body after body after body, and I said it's not a Hindu belief. There is actually very good scientific evidence of this also. There have been scientific investigations. Persons who consider themselves orthodox scientists don't accept this because they don't accept the conclusions of the investigations because it messes up all their science, which isn't very scientific of them. But there is very good evidence, even from the scientific standpoint, that there is reincarnation. And apart from that, what are we even talking about love if we are just chemicals? Chemicals don't love each other. We can put some electromagnet on the brain, on the cranium, and that will stimulate certain neurons in the brain to feel in various ways. But I am not chemicals. You are not chemicals. We are more than chemicals. Cannot love each other. They cannot have feelings, or they cannot strive for success, or even the idea of the survival of the fittest and the desire for the species to maintain itself and populate itself. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from chemicals. How do chemicals get the idea that we have to propagate our species? Why this table doesn't desire to remain a table? If we go to smash it, it won't protest. So these are ways that in which we can understand that we are separate from the chemicals that constitute the body. How to understand the nature of that who we are, the consciousness that is separate from the body, we're not going to find out by any material means. That is another great mistake of modern science, is that they only accept what can be proven or deduced according to their methodology. But they're dealing with matter. And consciousness is spirit, which by definition cannot be examined or understood by material means. So the best way to get knowledge of all these points is to take knowledge from a spiritual source. That means Veda. That's the ultimate reference point for understanding all these points. Looks like we're stuck on love here. What about success?
Do you want to ask something?
But I'm a material body. I live in this world. So why must I just not love, here? Why is it so important for me to think about spirituality?
Well, you say, I live in this body, but then who are you if you're not the body? I am in this body, then who are you? You are the soul. The soul is different from the body. We're not saying that you just become completely turned off from everyone and everything, and you don't have any feelings or emotions. That's practically impossible anyway, although some people, there are psychopaths who don't have any feelings for others. But generally, we all have feelings for others. I mean, I never saw you before now, but so far, I like you. Naturally, as soon as we start to meet people, it's a natural thing that there is interaction and feeling. So we're not saying to stop that, but to extend that. We can have an eternal relationship, and I'm not proposing to you. On the spiritual platform, you don't die, I don't die. The body will die, but we can love everyone and everything, again, with this, the center, Krishna. Oh, that other point, of course, the Vasundhaiva Kutumbakam. All the world is our family. However, to cultivate love only on the platform of this world means that we must be disappointed again and again and again, life after life after life. So, love your family, love your children, love everyone, everything, but understand how to bring that love to its fullness and perfection which will not be vanquished at death, at the death of this body.
In today's world, everybody is very competitive. We try to be our best. However, I would rather say we try to fit in the definition of being the best, what other people have created.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
We're striving towards becoming what other people want us to be, because you know, being different is not being perceived correctly in this society, I would say. So how can spirituality help me in being successful in the way I want to be?
Well, being successful in the way you want to be, first of all, we should deeply consider what it actually means to be successful. Most of the people who are what we would call successful in terms of being successful is mostly about prestige, I would say. It's not even the money. The money is for the sake of prestige. In the money up to a certain point is for your roti, kapra, makan, and after that it's all for prestige. But generally we see the people who are more successful, they're not very happy. So you might say that someone who, and often I've seen this because I meet all different kinds of people at all different levels of society. So often we find that families and communities who are really struggling to make ends meet, they're not successful in the material sense, but they're much more closely bonded, they're actually much happier. So maybe that's a better maybe the whole concept of success is misunderstood. From another point of view, what does it mean anyway? If you what is it? I often say, aaj ka raja kal ka kutta. Aise hote hain. It's by the laws of karma you may be very successful in this life. Actually, it often happens like that, that someone is very pious in one life, they're very austere, they're not sinful. In the next life, they get the opportunity to have lots of money and lots of success, and then they become very sinful, and again they go down. So real success means to come to the platform of eternal love and eternal happiness. Let's see what the real death. Why should we have it dictated to others by others who themselves are not happy, and as you have indirectly pointed out, are making a terrible mess of the world. The material success is making a disaster for the future generations, and even right now, climate change, as we can all experience right now, right here, and very soon, because of the crop failures, everyone's going to be crying. So, please, excuse me if I speak a little longer. There's a lot to say.
Yeah. According to me, for me, success means having a lot of money. And I want all my family members to love me. And I want all my neighbors to love me. And then there is a saying that I'd rather be rich and unhappy than poor and unhappy. So why should I not just work very hard?
Why not be happy? Find out how to be happy. That's more important than being rich or poor, isn't it? We're asking the wrong questions. We're barking up the wrong tree. But that's another dilemma, dichotomy. That often we find often that the parents are working very hard to make their children happy so the children will love them. But the children, they don't, because they're working so hard, their children don't see them. And the children grow up feeling resentful that my mother was never there for me when I wanted, when I needed them. And they grow up latchkey children. They grow up watching porn on the internet. And so it's very difficult to put the two together. That's the nature of this world.
Yeah, Mr. Pandav, you want to ask something? Please keep the mic.
Yeah. I love my parents, I love my wife, I love my daughters. But we don't make any public announcement of that particular love.
Yeah.
We love the eternity, or love the Lord Krishna, or some maybe other God, for example. we used to go for like public announcement throughout the, especially with disregard to the old age persons, especially with disregard to
so,
the...
So what's the question?
The question is that I love my parents, I love my wife, I love my daughters. Yeah. But we don't make any public announcement of that.
Okay.
But when we love the eternity, we used to make public announcement by having some like, in Hindi we say Rati Joga, and kind of these particular things when we use like something like drums and dolls, and we used to create, in my personal opinion, we used to create some disturbance for old age persons, for small children, especially we don't make any arrangements for the dustbins, we used to create like prasad and all sort of thing. So should we go for this? That's my question.
Okay.
Is that true love to the eternity?
Yeah.
Okay, we are talking about love and success here, right? So many people, countless people are dying because of not availability of food. Countless people are not having shelter. They are not able to make their livelihood. So rather, helping those people in getting their food, arranging them shelter, making them able to earn their livelihood, we should focus on that. What the need of focusing on Krishna and becoming happy? Like, happy, to become happy,
yeah,
one need to give happiness to other.
Okay, fine. Yeah, so that question is understood.
Yeah, well, you can try to stop poverty. But why is there poverty in the world? Why is that? There's enough opportunity to produce food for everyone in the world. As Lord Jesus said, the poor will always be with us. There's enough resources in the world to feed everyone. But it is greed and the spirit of exploitation by which a few people are very rich and they don't care about others being poor. So as long as that mentality is not addressed, then the poor will always be with us. It's a mentality. You can make organizations to try to help people, but you can only help a relatively small number of people, and then anyway they have to die. Just like Mother Teresa was very famous for her saintly work in picking people up off the street of Calcutta. After they spilled their whole life in poverty, they could die in her home, which didn't really help them that very much. And still they have to die. So real help is to help people to get free from suffering eternally. That is real love. And that will also solve the problems of the world by addressing it at its root.
Okay, I think everybody here has spoken about money. I think money is what we heard most of the times. I truly believe that money would never be enough, but money can always be earned. But what I'm really interested in knowing is as to what can I do to be more connected to Lord Krishna. This is what I'm here for.
Okay, fine. So this question we'll postpone for a little while.
Well, it's not this question, how can I be more connected to Krishna? That really covers everything. Because if we understand what the center is, and we project our love there, then we can love all other living beings. Otherwise, what happens is, we love our family members, but then there may be a quarrel with another family, why are you making loud noise? And then we defend our own family members blindly. Or India, we love Indians, we don't love Pakistanis. So love in this world, there's always the flip side of those that we don't love because they're not part of our group. It's all based on thinking that I am this body. And someone who thinks I'm Indian, I don't like those Pakistanis, he might be born in Pakistan the next life and think, I'm Pakistani, I don't like those Indians. So love in this world is always going to be imperfect. Therefore, if we focus on Krishna, then we can actually love all living beings. The point is taken. We shouldn't make garbage in the name of prasadam distribution. Thank you very much. We should see to that. It's also a good idea, as far as possible, not to use plastic cups which pollute the environment. If you can, I don't know if you can find in Delhi the leaf cups still. You might have to search for them. So that's a good point. We should be environmentally responsible. All that is not just we're saying Krishna and forget everything else. But we're saying Krishna, yes. Put Krishna in the center. An example is given that on a still lake, if we throw one stone, it will make concentric circles in the water. If we throw another one in the same point, it will make more concentric circles. But if we throw in different points, then there won't be any concentric circles. It'll all make ripples. So find out what the center of our love is. That is Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. How to develop our love for Krishna? Well, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna. Now you may say, well, Krishna, okay, well then the Muslims are not going to chant Hare Krishna. But we should also understand that God manifests Himself in various ways and people understand Him in various ways. So we should promote God consciousness. And if love of God is there, then love of all living beings will be there. Love of the environment, everything will follow. It is lack of God consciousness which has allowed the exploitive spirit, which is spoiling the world. You have so many NGOs working to try to rectify all the problems of the world. If we look at the cause of all the problems, it's all because certain people are unfairly trying to get more than they deserve and more than they need at the expense of others. What do you think of that? Is that a good definition? Lack of love. But the persons who are doing the exploitation, they also love their children. So it's a misplaced sense of love.
Yeah, just can we ask any questions from the audience? It's open. Anybody wants to ask any question? Yeah. Can you give the mic to her? Please give the mic. No, we are handing over the mic. That's okay. You can just speak. I'll just repeat. You can just ask the question.
Love or pyar mein kya farak hai?
Moh mein aur pyar mein, love mein kya farak hai?
Moh mein, love mein aur pyar mein?
Nahi, moh and love jo hai, jab maa apne bacche ko pyar karti hai, to woh moh hai ya true love hai?
The love, yeah. We're talking about illusory love and real love. Yeah, love in this world can be said to be illusory because it is temporary. It is a reflection of real love, which is eternal, unlimited, and unconditional. The closest to pure love in this world is the love of a mother for the child. But that's also temporary. What we call PR, or what's generally known as love, that is very much conditional. We find that young boys fall in love with young girls. They don't fall in love with grandmothers. It's not just based on emotion. There's a very strong sexual content in that also. So pure love is beyond the platform of bodily attraction. Sometimes also the mothers, they reject the children. There are cases like that. Just like my mother is from Northern Ireland, where during most of my youth there was an ongoing battle between Protestants and Catholics. So there was a case of one Catholic, he was fighting as a guerrilla against the Protestants. And then eventually he thought, this is horrible, I'm killing people. And he went and he told the police about the hideouts of all the Catholics. And his mother rejected him, said, I'm ashamed that I gave you the milk from my breast. So mothers can also reject the son. But Krishna will never reject us. Whatever bad things we do, Krishna is willing to accept us if we stop rejecting him. So that is unconditional love from his side also.
Any question? No, first.
These are very important topics. What do you think? Thank you very much for organizing this. I mean, we should consider all these things. We just go through life and watching Bollywood movies and love, and we never really think about it.
Love to vishwas hai. Vishwas ghat dhokha hai. To vishwas karne ke baad love karte hain. To usko kaise mana jaye ki nahi ye aadmi dhokha dega?
Wo aadmi agar dhokha nahi dega, to kal ka prabhav se wo love toot jayega. इसलिए किसी में विश्वास इस भौतिक संसार में किसी में हम पूरा विश्वास नहीं कर सकते. हम विश्वास कर सकते कि हम सब मर जाएंगे, इसलिए हमारा विश्वास वो व्यक्ति जिनका जन्म मरण नहीं होते भगवान में हमारा विश्वास रखना चाहिए. कोई दूसरे हम पूरा विश्वास नहीं कर सकते.
लव तो विश्वास में ही होता है. हाँ जी, धोखा भी विश्वास में ही होता है.
हाँ, वो दोनों विपरीत है. नहीं,
लेकिन कैसे पहले कैसे पता चले?
ओ, अगर हम पहले से समझ सकते तो कोई दूसरे को धोखा नहीं दे सकता. तो ऐसा है, चीटिंग लोग तो है. और ऐसे बहुत चीटिंग वाले हो, पहले से कि मैं चीटिंग करूंगा, तो ऐसे उद्देश्य नहीं है ऐसे लोग, लेकिन बाद में अवसर मिल के धोखा देते.
धन्यवाद.
I just want to put one question from my side. It's a blunt one, but I think spiritualists are cheating us by propagating the myth of soul and God, and why should we waste time in all this myth, and why shouldn't we just lead a normal life as others lead?
You're playing the devil's advocate, obviously. No, but there is very good evidence that at the time of death we do not die. There is, if you want to take it from a scientific point of view, there is very good evidence. Why is it then that so many scientists believe in life after death? Why is it that so many doctors say that when a person dies, they can see the spark goes out? They recognize that there is a soul and it is eternal. So the question is good. Well, it's not very good. It's arrogant. But it just presumes that when the body is finished, everything is finished. So to someone who would say like that, I would say, don't take it for granted. Make some more investigation. It's the most important thing to know what happens after death. Ah, please.
What else? This
is about cheating. This is about dhoka. I live in this world, people cheat me left and right. They make all promises, and when I'm cheated, I feel very depressed and very angry at the same time.
Mm.
So how do I live in this world who's always cheating me?
Best to get out of this world. Go to the world where there's no cheating. Go to the spiritual world, to the person who we can fully trust. Therefore we can fully love. That is Krishna. Of course, we may say Krishna cheats the gopis. But that also, that is what we call lila. That's to increase the love. That is very deep love, which we cannot imagine in this world.
No, just Rajesh.
There are so many god and goddesses. Right. Then why do you focus only on Krishna?
Well, how do you know there are so many gods and goddesses? Have you studied this subject very deeply?
No, we hear in society like God is Durga, God Shiva is there. So here I see that you are focusing only on Krishna.
So this is a very important question. I request that if you really want to find the answer, you should study it very deeply. Because spiritual knowledge is very deep. Generally, people take religion in a very light way. But if we actually want to love God, we have to know who that person is. So Krishna means who attracts everybody. If we are to get knowledge of God, who is supreme, then we have to take knowledge from the proper source. The proper source is the Vedic knowledge. The conclusion of the Vedic knowledge is there is one God who is Krishna, and he manifests himself in many forms, and there are many demigods, and there is a lot of cheating in the name of religion, no doubt, but try to find the real thing. That is Krishna.
So, okay, last question and then we'll finish this debate.
So, you're always talking about real love, real success. But my point here is that, since our time is limited, we have only 60, 70 years to live on this earth.
Maybe.
So, maybe.
We may not have 60 seconds.
We might die in like 50 years only. So my point here is that, Why, if we are not able to develop that real love or eternal love in this lifetime, so why should we try to develop that? If we can only live life normally and develop normal love for normal people, why should we try to, if we are unable to develop it in one lifetime?
You're not a very ambitious person, are you? Why not go for the highest thing? Why not develop the highest love? What makes you think you can't do it? Shoot high. You can do it.
But if you're not able to,
just go for normal love. Well, there's no guarantee of that either. But whatever progress we make in Krishna bhakti, that will go on to our next life. Whereas whatever love we develop in this life will just be broken, then we have to start all over again. It's a better deal.
So, can we do both at a time?
Oh,
can
yes.
Try to develop eternal love?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're not saying that you go home and tell your wife, okay, I'm finished. Actually, your love for your wife, children, that will increase. If we understand, otherwise it's just based on the body. But if we understand that by the grace of Krishna, I am in this situation where I have responsibility for a family. It's not just a responsibility to feed them, to clothe them, to educate them materially, but it's my responsibility to help them also to develop pure, full love that will benefit them eternally, then our relationships will be more deep and better and on the real platform. So no, you don't have to give up your family. You can do that in the best way by Krishna consciousness.
But
do we have scientific evidence?
And actually real, when you say a normal life, what is this normal life? Going to movies, working hard, getting a heart attack at the age of 35. What is all this? It's pretty miserable.
But what you're saying...
Is there evidence? Yes, please Google, what's his name? Ian Stevenson. Google Ian Stevenson. Actually, the Wikipedia write-up on him is not very good. But he died recently. He was a psychologist who put about 40 years of his life into study. He noted in what any other discipline would be called a scientific manner, several thousand cases which strongly pointed toward the phenomenon of reincarnation. So there is scientific evidence. And there are other ways to understand also, just like the body changes. I can see a photo of myself at 5 years old, at 25 years old, now pushing 60. The body changes all the time. The mind changes all the time. What is the constant factor? When that is the soul. According to modern science, every 7 years or so, every cell in our and every atom in our body is completely changed. So if the child goes away at age 20 and comes back at age 28 and the mother says, oh, you're not my son. All the chemicals change. But it is what is the person? The person is different from the chemicals. The person is the soul. So when the body dies, the person continues to exist. It is a great science, actually. Very highly intelligent people have put their whole energy into understanding and helping others to understand this. Here in India is the place where this understanding, this science is most developed. We talk about Einstein being brilliant, but he didn't pursue the real problems of life, which is why we are suffering in this world. Why don't we find full happiness in this world? It is here in this country where this culture has always been strongest. In fact, one reason that Indians nowadays maybe don't appreciate the great acharyas is because they can't understand them. The level of philosophy is so deep. So you have a great science and a great culture to understand and to offer the world. Yeah.
So, I think we have to close the session now. And if anybody wants to ask any question, please, there are questions.
There's one lady there, maybe raising her hand.
Take a second. You can ask.
We need a cordless mic here, don't we?
And then we'll close the session.
अभी राजेश जी ने थोड़ी देर पहले बोला था कि गरीबी के लिए हमें काम करना चाहिए और समाज के लिए काम करना चाहिए क्योंकि वो हमें दिखता है. मैं इनके साथ थोड़ा सा इन्हीं के क्वेश्चन को आगे बढ़ाऊंगा. मैं जानना चाहता हूँ कि अगर मतलब हम गरीबी के लिए काम करेंगे तो हर इंसान में ईश्वर है. हर इंसान में ईश्वर है ऐसा समझ.
हर इंसान ईश्वर है तो कैसे गरीब लोग है?
नहीं, यही मैं बोल रहा हूँ. गरीब लोग जैसे आपने अभी
तो गरीब लोग तो ईश्वर नहीं है.
अभी आपने
ईश्वर का मतलब जिनमें पूरा ऐश्वर्य है.
लेकिन सभी के
लेकिन आप जो बोलते वो सही नहीं है. कैसे सब लोग ईश्वर है?
हर किसी के हृदय में चार चतुर्भुज रूप में ईश्वर वास करते हैं ऐसा मैंने सुना है. तो मैं ये पूछना चाह रहा था कि अगर मतलब गरीबों का हम लोग साथ देंगे और भगवान का वो भी एक तरीके से भगवान की सेवा है तो हम भगवान के लिए सेवा करना और गरीबों के लिए सेवा करने में क्या फर्क है?
तो अफसोस मत हो लेकिन आप जो बोलते है वो बहुत साधारण गलत फहमी ही है कि हर इंसान ईश्वर है. वो शास्त्रिक कथा नहीं है, और कॉमन सेंस सरल बुद्धि से हम समझ सकते हैं कि हर इंसान तो ईश्वर नहीं है। ईश्वर का मतलब जो सबको नियंत्रण करते हैं, तो आप सबको उस नियंत्रण करते हैं नहीं, हम सब ईश्वर के अंश है, और लेकिन हम पूर्ण ईश्वर नहीं है, और कर्म फल के अनुसार हम अलग अलग स्थिति मिलती है। तो इसलिए कुछ लोग तो गरीबी में जन्म लेते, कुछ लोग तो धन ऐश्वर्य में, और चूंकि हम कर्म फल के अनुसार जन्म लेते इसलिए गरीबी पूरा हटाना तो संभव नहीं होगा, क्योंकि
सबको भक्त बनाना भी संभव नहीं होगा, मतलब अभी तक सारे भक्त नहीं बन पाए।
तो आप भक्त बन जाए?
मैं आपसे सवाल पूछ रहा हूँ, आपने कहा कि गरीबी
इस संसार का स्वभाव है कि यह दुखमय है, तो इसलिए गरीबी जो वो एक समस्या है, उसको पूरा हटाना संभव नहीं होगा। जन्म मृत्यु जरा व्याधि दुख ही है, इसलिए हम कृष्ण भक्ति प्रचार करते हैं। कृष्ण भक्ति यदि बहुत लोग ग्रहण करेंगे तो इस दुनिया की स्थिति बहुत अच्छी हो जाएगी, और जब तक कोई कृष्ण भक्ति तो नहीं करते तब तक पुनरापि जननम पुनरापि मरणम, बार बार जन्म मृत्यु होगा, तो जिससे लोग का बार बार दुख भोगना नहीं होगा, इसलिए कृष्ण भक्ति ग्रहण करना पड़ता है। तो
किसी और को पूछना है क्वेश्चन? एक मिनट,
मैं आपसे गुरु जी को प्रणाम करती हूँ हृदय से।
हरे कृष्ण।
मैं इस काबिल नहीं हूँ कि कुछ लफ्ज बोल सकूं, मगर वृंदावन के संतों ने मेरे को उस जगह पहुँचा दिया जहाँ मैं बयान नहीं कर सकती। मैं ये कहती हूँ कि संसार धोखा दे सकता है, गोविंद धोखा किसी को नहीं देते। अगर गोविंद से लो लगी हो और गोविंद को अपना दिल दे दे हम,
ठीक है माता जी, एक मिनट तो प्रश्न है तो बताइए, अदरवाइज
मैं लास्ट एक मेरी बात पूरी करने दीजिए बस। अगर हम ऐसे ही किसी को रोक करते रहेंगे तो भाव कैसे प्रकट होंगे, कभी भी किसी के भावों को रोका नहीं। मैं बस एक ही कहना चाहती हूँ कि अगर हम गोविंद से प्यार करें सच्चे दिल से, तो गोविंद हृदय से मुरली बजाते हैं और गीत गा के बताते हैं
जय गोविंद
और
हरे कृष्णा,
और गीत इस तरह के गाते हैं, बड़े प्यारे प्यारे गीत गाते हैं, जिन्हें सुन के भी प्राणी दंग रह जाता है कि कहां से ये धुन आ रही है और कौन गीत गा रहे
हैं। हरे कृष्णा,
हरे। सो वी वुड लाइक टू एंड द प्रोग्राम हियर। थैंक यू वेरी मच टू ऑल ऑफ यू टू अटेंड, एंड आल्सो मिस्टर राजेश, मिस्टर मयंक, मिस्टर पंकज एंड
Oh, that question about gods and goddesses, we have this book, Who is Supreme?
So, yeah.
You can see that.
We have some books here.